So thanks for solving that, Tori, and thank you for inviting me here today. As I said, I'm an independent advisor in global health innovation. I am affiliated with a number of organizations. I think they cover more or less a 360-degree view of digital health and global health innovation. They include the World Bank, UNICEF, the World Health Organization, the European Commission, who I worked as an expert for, 20 years almost, University College London, Edison Accelerator, GE Healthcare, and, of course, IEEE Standards Association. When I say it covers a 360 degree, I'm actually referring to what we're witnessing now happening in building public, private, social partnerships to accelerate digital health innovation and solve the many lingering problems that we're dealing with in healthcare. So Tom said earlier that Stephen stole his thunder. If I was in the thunder business, I would be bankrupt by now because I think that you covered everything. So I could go straight to the final slide, and you know, which is my selling point for today. But I'm not going to do that. I will try to go through and find the added value. And added value there is, because what I want to talk to you about is resource recycling and thinking about an ecosystem that can, you know, imagine yourselves thinking you're in an ecosystem for digital health development. All of a sudden, you're, you know, transported into the helicopter. You go up and you realize suddenly that the world is made up of different little ecosystems, a bit of a Matrix movie. And when you thought that you were inside the ecosystem, you realize that you were not. You're actually inside a tunnel vision perception of what the world is doing to innovate. So what we want to do is we want to unite those perspectives and agree on how we can move forward to a future of digital first or digital second. It doesn't matter. So what is that approach? The approach is to build a health data value supply chain. And, you know, in the beginning, a few of the concepts might seem a bit foreign or a bit excessive, but gradually you'll start to see your presentations or the presentations that came before me inside this presentation and hopefully a unification, a message to unify them together at the end. So what is data value? Well, the NHS calculates, NHS England, which is a part of the NHS actually, calculates that the data is worth about 5 billion in terms of 2019 market value. So that's, you know, a lot of money. And this is probably the tip of the iceberg. My understanding is that most of the value, most of the things we don't see are the rest of the iceberg, so God knows how much value we're actually talking about. So let's have a look at the value, some of the value supply chain key principles. Now, the value supply chain covers entire health and life sciences or translational precision medicine life cycle, the whole thing from sensing, acting, observing, studying, going back to healthcare again to repeat the cycle. We need to ask ourselves, is value distributed equitably, symmetrically, and how? In what ways is this important? So are we reinventing democracy here on the basis of data, or is it important that we all share the same value of data? Are there information asymmetry nuances across the value supply chain? So we need to consider things like bias or inclusion and equity in access to data. How does everyone benefit from cancelling information asymmetry? Is the value supply chain in healthcare and life sciences enabled and sustainable? Is innovation an integral part of the current value supply chain or ecosystem? And what is the role of telehealth in all of this? So let's have a look at the definition of a circular economy to start with, and then go into some figures about why this is relevant, why we should start thinking about the circular economy in data, a circular economy in innovation, and a circular economy in healthcare. The retention of data of the data product as an asset adds new asset classes to the initial use. That's the idea of value through recycling in data assets. So this, coupled with the logic of total product liability, links reducing environmental impact to better design, more intelligent use phases, and further industry consolidation or collaboration across the value chain. You saw that happening in the US a lot over the past 10 years. Consolidation was a thing. Value was being produced by health systems collecting the power and value of data for different uses. And really, what this description of the total product liability is about, and adding new data assets to existing data assets, is about continuity of care. This is what doctors do in practice. This is what data has to follow with. So data value comes from equity. The issue of safeguarding the value of data resonates with concerns about the equitable and inclusive distribution of profit from public assets. There is a group of physicians in the UK who recently published in the BMJ an analysis saying that failing to protect health data is valuable for public assets. Risks making taxpayers pay both to develop and to use novel technologies, further entrenching the costly model of discovery and innovation observed in the pharmaceutical industry. A week ago, I was in a conference where the biggest pharmaceutical industry players were present, the biggest companies were present, and they, assured me that if they could find a mechanism with which they could share data and they could share data value, they would be more than happy to work together. So the question is, why is the healthcare industry so concerned about what happens with their data, and why are they so concerned about equitable use of the data and the wealth that is produced from the data? With regard to ethics and information asymmetry, another group from within the European health system, they're observing that there's a problem with disease endotyping. So when we create phenotypes, experiential observation of disease, and we start digging into systems medicine models, so the parameters that define disease in more accurate ways, where AI can be implemented and digital health can be implemented, we have a problem, because although data exists in abundance, we can't agree about how we endotype disease, so we can't agree about how we define specific disease profiles. Some are wrong, some are not so wrong, some are biased, and this bias causes concerns as far as interpretations are concerned of the data, and the way they can lead to under or over diagnosis and under or over treatment. So you see that the concern spans the whole spectrum of fear about where data can lead, about asymmetry, about value, distribution, and error in diagnosis and treatment. So let's have a look at a couple of reports about AI, for example. Data in digital health is a big issue now because it feeds AI. And AI without data doesn't exist. So two reports, which are big and quite heavy in terms of their opinion, one of them is the Stanford Institute for Human-Centered AI index report, which comes every year. The other one is the Council of Europe Steering Committee for Human Rights in Biomedicine and Health. Both reports sketch a very, not a very good picture of AI and its current situation. One of them says AI vision has reached a plateau, so we're not making any progress as far as that is concerned. Reasoning is still a frontier of AI, and investment is off the hook. So what this report basically says is that AI does nothing for us, there's no way forward, but we still keep pouring loads of money into AI. The other report says that AI deployment in care remains nascent. Clinical efficacy has been established for few apps compared to reported research activity, and performance generalization from trials to clinical practice is largely unproven. So scaling is clearly a problem. We can come up with a really impressive innovation, but when it comes to actually expanding its use in my practice or other practices around me, it stops working. Now, if we were to measure this scaling problem with some sort of standardized benchmark system, Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine developed a very simple idea and a very simple system to do that. They developed something called the Clinical Robustness Score for startups, using data that came from FDA and clinicaltrials.gov. So this is regulatory filings and permission to carry out clinical trials, and they marked the startups with those two parameters. And what they found is 70% of the startups and companies got a score of 0 to 3, which is not exactly very acceptable if you consider that the score goes up to, I can't remember, quite high actually. And only 8 to 9% of the startups had the score of 8 to 10 plus. Okay, so we need to get away from this picture, because what we're saying is we're struggling to build continuity of care in healthcare, and we're struggling to make healthcare more trusted and reliable. But the data we use and the innovation that feeds off the data to help me do that doesn't perform. So we have a little bit of a problem there. So how can we restore this value supply chain? I present to you that we should need to do two very simple things. One of them is to recycle resources, to build value through recycling, so create new asset classes as the definition went before, and achieve that through a new telehealth paradigm. Let's have a look at the COVID, wind back 2 years and look at the pandemic, the first stage of the pandemic. We all knew we didn't have any data. Right. I mean, you know, now we are certain that we're doing really well. But only 2 years ago, or a year and a half ago, we had no data. We felt very insecure about our intelligence of the environment, of the clinical epidemiology that was unfolding around us. So what that innovation that saved the day was the vaccination strategy, with the assistance of new technologies being tested. So the innovation there was a strategy of achieving a 70% vaccination coverage, prioritizing specific groups like the vulnerable populations. Yeah, and mandates was the policy, regulation was the emergency use authorization, innovation standard was the mRNA and other technologies. Now, when it came to actually measuring the results we got out of that, we failed to have access to data widely in the US and other parts of the world. Because why? Because although we were building other innovations like telehealth triage or AI prediction or drug discovery, at the same time, the digital ecosystem was not working. So we couldn't, you know, share the data. We couldn't have access to common data. The reason for this is that there's something called the innovator's predicament, or the egocentric predicament, which simply says that when you innovate, when you produce something in the innovation space, you only see your view, the tunnel vision. You don't see the big picture. So you fail to see the actual temporal reality and impact. You only calculate what the temporal reality will be down the line, and you produce your innovation based on that prediction. So what we end up with is a picture of wonderful contributions in terms of digital innovation in medical care, in community health, in population health, and in digital first and digital care. So, you know, you can scan through that, appointment schedules, measurement, self-care, pharmacovigilance, grassroots social governance programs, patient support programs, new version of them, remote triaging. You know, they're all there. And there's so many of those innovative programs running. But imagine if we could bring all those together into one innovation ecosystem, because now what we get is this. We get a load of carbon sources. We get antimicrobial resistance problems. We get over-medicalization, low or no value care, high risk cost, low benefit treatments. You know, all those things that we keep reading about that we need to solve, but we cause with digital means. So how can we get out of that situation? Well, you know, a new connected innovation paradigm. This is a vehicle to grid idea, that you know, share the energy inside electric vehicles to power the grid, and then, you know, use the same energy when you need it. The same thing that can happen to connect innovation for carbon reduction. So value-based care can be realized, radiology screening AI, remote triaging AI, and all that eventually helps us contribute to sustainable development goals, 3 billion targets, digital diplomacy, and global collaboration. Major green initiatives, I just haven't got the time to take you through all this today. what we do want to introduce as a concept is the concept of data liquidity. So the gentleman before me mentioned GDPR. GDPR is a very small part of the data sharing enablement. On top of that, we need to build interoperability. But what is missing is we need to deliver liquidity, and liquidity is the ability to build, to recycle data and build value through recycling of data. So if we look at the software angle, which is the portability, the GDPR side of things, what we need to do is standardize and develop a policy for data sharing. That would then approach this iceberg of open science and fair principles in the EU. So contribution of output, data as output, in one channel that goes from connected grassroots innovation all the way to translational users to solve the asymmetry problem. Now, the model for telehealth to achieve that would rely on interaction, connection, and outreach. So every telehealth innovation should aim to deliver those so that we can deliver value, trust, and equity. We trying to respect Tori's limitations in time, we are building, I have founded and chairing within IEEE Standards Association a group that is planning to do just that, recycle data assets for value-based care. So this group is going to explore the development of open standards for data capture and recycling to telehealth systems, and the idea is to build phenotyping standards that can be used across the industry so that everyone can share an ecosystem. I'm really sorry that I can't give you more information. If that rings any bell, what I presented to you today, please do reach out and find a way in which you can participate in this standards incubator at my email. Thank you.
Hello.